You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I'm your host, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I'm just a kid who grew up in Kaukauna, and now I have this radio show, which is wild and crazy, thanks to the genius of Todd Michaels, who is on the other side of the glass. He doesn't have a microphone because we have a full house today, because we've got a really important topic to talk about. And every week we try to shine a light on some of the incredible people who live here in Northeast Wisconsin and the community building work that they do. Our full house is courtesy of the guy who's sitting back in the corner. He also doesn't have a mic, but his name is John Zarbano. John and I both ran for U.S. Congress in the last cycle. And as we've been watching things happen here in Wisconsin related to childcare, it's been hard for all of us. But John reached out to me the other day and said, I've got this group of folks from Sheboygan who want to talk about what's happening with our child care crisis in Wisconsin. And for me, that was a super easy sell because I've got four kids of my own and they were really little when I was in medical school. And it cost us an arm and a leg to put them into child care so that I could go to school. And I'm still paying for it. Most of my student loans that I'm still paying off were because we had to beg, borrow, and steal. We didn't have family to support us. We were in Madison by ourselves. Our neighbors helped, but four kids in daycare is a lot. So I get it. And it's only gotten harder for both providers and consumers in the years since then. Now, here in Wisconsin, just to set the landscape for what's going on right now, childcare counts dollars have been bolstering our childcare community for the past couple of years. They've been helping to raise pay for providers from, I talked with someone from Ashland yesterday. She said they were paying $10 an hour. Now they're able to pay $13 an hour in her center. Now that's significantly less than you'd even make at Target, but that's the going rate for childcare providers right now. Unfortunately, those dollars are going away in June. As Governor Evers was trying to put his budget together and going all across the state, he listened to folks and he understood that this is a major concern in every community, especially smaller and rural communities where there's less access. There are fewer childcare providers, but the need is the same. And he put nearly $500 million into his budget proposal for childcare. But the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee has eliminated over 600 provisions of the budget, including that one. And right now there's no plan. There's no plan. So our child care providers are going to run out of this additional funding in June. And as a result, we're anticipating up to 25% of these centers could potentially close. And in rural areas, it could be up to 70% in these areas where they're already struggling to provide and find child care. Now, you might think that the impact is just on these families who have kids in daycare, so it doesn't affect me, but actually it does. It affects whole communities, and it affects our economies in our small towns, in our cities, and across the state. And that's what we're going to explore today, focusing on Sheboygan. So sitting next to
me, the Malibu of the Midwest.
And that is Sheboygan Mayor Ryan Sorensen. Thank you.
Good morning.
For joining us from the Malibu of the Midwest. I love that. Yeah. It's true.
Yeah, it's our trademark tourism slogan. So
it is a beautiful city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right on the shores of Lake Michigan, right down the road.
Uh-huh. There is surfing.
Yep. We are the freshwater surfing capital of the world. That's how we got coined the name the Malibu of the Midwest.
That just makes me think of one thing. Burr.
People suit up, they put their wetsuits on, and they bundle up all year round.
I'll come and watch that sometime. Yeah. Sitting next to Ryan is Mike Close. He is an alder, recently elected alder in District 3. Welcome, Mike.
Good morning.
And he's also a dad, I should mention.
Yep, working dad. Yeah, that was a big part of my campaign, actually, was trying to highlight the working families in Sheboygan and what they go through and my lived experience mm-hmm. as a dad in Sheboygan as well.
You also look pretty natural behind the mic.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. It, high school opportunities abound in Sheboygan. So we had a radio show that I was a part of back then. So that was one of those things that I tried to do as best I could back then. We had a radio show in the evening.
You're living your childhood dream right now.
I really am. Yes.
And next to Mike is Leah Hibble. She is on the Sheboygan Area School District Board of Education, and she's so much more. Leah, welcome.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I am here not just as a school board member, but I work as a mental health counselor in an intensive outpatient program. I see in my daily work the effects of what having a positive adult influence can have on children's lives. So I'm glad to be here to share my perspective. Also, wanted to think a little bit about the Malibu of the Midwest slogan. Going back to the early 20th century, Sheboygan was known as the city of four C's, mm-hmm. chairs, churches, cheese, and children. While our last chair factory closed in 2023, I don't really... Cheese is not really an industry in our city, but rather the county. Children have been the cornerstone of Sheboygan for its entirety, and I'm glad that we are all here continuing that work.
That is incredible. I had no idea.
Yeah.
I think of Bratz and Polka.
Right? Well, we got that too.
Always. That'll never change.
Something for everyone.
Yeah.
And anchoring our team is Angel Berry. Angel is the executive director and co-founder of A Million Dreams, which is a child care center and so much more.
Working on it, yes.
Yeah. Tell us about it and you, Angel. Lead us off.
Sure. So I started out doing child care in my home, and I did that for 10 years. But ever since my children were small, and they're in their mid-20s now, I was looking at child care and the shortcomings. The lack of childcare on off shifts or over the weekend, the lack of access for kids with special needs, the lack of affordability, which is a huge issue. And I always knew that I wanted to do something bigger. I couldn't possibly fit enough kids in my house to make my heart happy. So I needed to get a little bit bigger, and that just kept spiraling. So we incorporated a nonprofit in 2019, and we opened our center in March of 2023. So what we're doing at A Million Dreams is a little bit different than the standard childcare, and we're looking at ways to solve the childcare crisis, and that's just going to take support from everybody.
And when you say what you're doing is a little bit different, in my experience with childcare, you can drop off as early as maybe 6 a.m., and you have to pick up by 5 p.m., and your kids have to be pretty straightforward without a lot of bells and whistles. That is not your center.
That is... not my center. Gosh, that would be a lovely day. We're open from 5 a.m. until midnight, 7 days a week. We are licensed 24/7, and we'll get there. We're just not there yet. We've only been open 2 years. But we are all-inclusive, and so we've got kids of all varying abilities. We can't meet all the needs because we just don't have the professionals to help with our extra needy kids, and that just takes more money, which mm-hmm. nobody has in childcare. But we also meet families where they're at. So I talk about childcare being a service model, because having a model of childcare that's looking for a profit is dying nationally. Mm-hmm. We can't keep doing that. So if we look at it as a service, it's about what families need, and they need access to care that's affordable. They need flexible schedules. They need to not pay to save a spot. They don't have to pay for a full 20 hours a week if they need 3 hours on Wednesday. And so our families are able to schedule whatever it is that they need, and that's what they pay for.
Service, not profit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Mike, you get this on a really personal level.
Yes, specifically with her organization. So that's her, A Million Dreams has been a big part of our life since they opened. And we have three children, 9, 5, and 1. And the one-year-old, a year ago before he was born, we were deciding where we wanted to go, what we wanted to do. And A Million Dreams really factored in huge to that, more so that we were able to choose our schedule. We were able to bill the times that we wanted to. We had been locked into specific times for specific amounts. If we weren't there, we still had to pay for other childcare organizations and things like that. But that was huge for us. And moreover, on top of the other services that you spoke about earlier, we had an illness in our family and we needed potential emergency childcare for our other two children as well. So being able to provide that for them on top of the existing care was fantastic. It was a lifesaver.
I feel like that is genuinely a gap across the spectrum. We tend to think of ourselves when we're well, you know, whether we're well healthy adults or well healthy children or well healthy older people. But there are always things going on in our lives that create exceptions, and we just don't have that wiggle room.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely,
Ryan. How do you see this impacting the people that you serve as the mayor of Sheboygan?
Yeah, so this is definitely, and Angel and I have talked about this all the time, especially in Sheboygan. We're going through a tremendous amount of growth right now. Mm-hmm. Our businesses are growing. We need to invest in housing. We need to invest in our parks and our community as well. And a huge component of that, if we're going to grow as a community, if we're going to build more housing, if we're going to see business growth and expansion, a big, big component of that is we need to invest in childcare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we're trying to bring folks to our community, we want to make sure we're a great place to live, work, and play, and raise a family. Childcare is so vitally important, making sure that we're supporting great organizations like A Million Dreams, and as well as a plethora of other childcare agencies that we have throughout Sheboygan. So that's the direct impact that we see when we're talking with businesses, when we're seeing folks that want to invest in our community. You know, this is a conversation that comes up. Mm-hmm. I've been going on what I've been coining my roadshow, been meeting with all of our large employers in the Sheboygan area, and housing and childcare are definitely huge topics that come up that because of the lack of childcare and the affordability of childcare becomes a barrier for economic growth and development.
Mm-hmm. And in the last minute that we have, Leah, can you share your perspective on how this impacts the schools?
Well, I think about if a child does not have adequate care, the parents have to make difficult decisions, and that might lead to lost wages and things like that. And all of those things culminate in children coming to school not being able to learn. So if we have these, I like where Ryan was going with partnerships, and I hope to later talk about some of the partnerships that our school district has with organizations. If we can partner with nonprofits, if we can partner with businesses, it takes a village to raise children. It's the old adage, right? We need to live that. Those are not just words, and that's one thing I feel our city and district does a great job with.
Mm-hmm. It's the anchor C of the four C's in Sheboygan, right?
That's it.
All right, we have to take a short break, but when we return, let's dig into how this childcare crisis is affecting our kids. This is Dr. Kristen Lyerly with the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show.
Lights out, darkness creeps into your mind, and now you can't see.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lyerly Show. I'm Dr. Kristen Lyerly, here with what I'm coining the Sheboygan for. That's not a polka band.
Not yet.
But if it were, just start thinking about which instrument you're going to pick up. I get the accordion.
Oh, come on. I was going to get that one.
We've got Ryan Sorensen, the mayor of Sheboygan. Mike Close, he's an alder in Sheboygan. Leah Hibble, she's on the school board. And Angel Berry, she runs A Million Dreams, which is a child care center. But before we get back to that conversation, one of the things I love about doing this show is being able to elevate some of the great local music that we have here. And that song was by Pegasus. They are a Green Bay-based band. I couldn't find a polka band in Sheboygan. I know, I should have asked.
We'll next time we're on, we'll bring them.
Because there will be a next time. Yeah. Yeah, so that was Pegasus. They are sisters Rissel Yaina and Marvellous Peguero Almonte with guitarist Matt Hillman. They came together in 2017, and in 2023, they added bassist Tony Passavento and drummer Jeremy Selig. They have what they describe as genreless original music that defies categorization but creates lush soundscapes for all listeners. That's how I was feeling when I was listening to them. So they invite us all to flow with Pegasus as they explore the struggles and triumphs of everyday life and on being kind to oneself and one's neighbor. That's what we're doing here. So they're going to be at Station One Brewing on May 30th, and they're going to be at People Fest in the Driftless area later this summer. They're all around Northeast Wisconsin. You can find them at the band Pegasus. That's P-E-G-A-S-I-S, just to be a little different, .com. So back to business, childcare. Angel, you are the childcare provider here. How do you see this crisis impacting the kids, especially you take care of some of our most vulnerable kids?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
You know, this the studies that they've done nationally and worldwide really explain in depth how this is affecting children. And the reality is that the first 6 years of life is the most amount of brain development that you're going to have in your entire life. So if you are not exposed to certain things, your brain will literally prune that off. Because we're Wisconsinites, right? My favorite story to tell is whether or not you can roll your R's, which if you go to a Spanish-speaking country, everybody can do this. It's not genetic. It's literally what your brain hears or does not hear in the first 6 years of your life. So if you don't hear that sound, that rrr sound, you won't ever be able to pronounce that. And that goes for languages, that goes for the basis of math, that goes for the basis of literacy and all the different things that we can learn about. We need to have exposure to that in the first 6 years. So if we wait until 3K and 4K, great to give that basis for education, but we need to start at birth and play different musics and different sounds and lights and colors and read to them. And having access to quality education just makes the entire community better.
Mm-hmm. Can you roll your R's? Friends, our rollers?
No, don't ask me.
I cannot do it.
I cannot roll my R's. Mike, can your kids roll their R's?
Yes. Yes, they can. Yeah. Yeah. They definitely come home with all kinds of Spanish words. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that's great. You're just great.
Now, Mike, this issue is personal for you.
Absolutely.
But it was also a big part of your campaign for Alder.
Yes. Yeah. That was one of the big things that it's a big part of my identity, being a working dad and being a part of Sheboygan community and trying to draw attention to what goes on in the day to day, the operations of trying to manage a family in Sheboygan. So I made a campaign post about I also work in finance. So we talked about the unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. We have a very low unemployment rate in Sheboygan, which is great. But when you actually dig deeper, it shows that the unemployment rate is low because it excludes people who have pulled themselves out of the job market. They've exited the job market. And oftentimes that's because they couldn't find daycare. So they opted not to go back to work. Mm-hmm. They've opted to stay home. And oftentimes, I mean, I'm a working dad, but this oftentimes affects women, highly qualified women who want a job, who want to be able to work in Sheboygan. It just highlights how important it is to invest in daycare and daycare providers in the Sheboygan area. One of the common complaints that we always hear from employers in the area is we can't find staff. We can't find staff.
Mm-hmm.
So the big important thing, if you're serious about you want staff, you have to prioritize, seriously prioritize investment in daycare providers in the Sheboygan area near to where people are working.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we know that this disproportionately does affect women.
Absolutely.
Because women are predominantly the child care caregivers, mm-hmm. the caregivers in general. Hey, Leah, on the school board, your charge is to help take care of the kids, make sure all the kids have what they need.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you see this impacting the kids in the schools?
So I see, if there is a lack of care, and I'm looking at this not only from an educational standpoint, but from a mental health standpoint as well. If there is not adequate care, and if there is anxiety on the part of the parents, like, what are we going to do? That leaches over into the child's development.
Mm-hmm.
That can become anxiety that may not manifest until years later outwardly. And I see that without the services in place, the children suffer. Children need attachments that help them grow. And quality, adequate care is one way that can happen.
Mm-hmm. You bet. And Ryan, I should mention, I'm here with Ryan Sorensen, mayor of Sheboygan. And Mike Close, Sheboygan Elder, Leah Hivel from the Sheboygan School Board, and Angel Berry, who is the executive director and co-founder of A Million Dreams. Ryan, in order to have a healthy community, and you mentioned this earlier, mm-hmm. you need all those services. Sheboygan is known to be a place for families.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's fundamental and something that I always talk about, is investing in quality of life. Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes that sounds like the cliche political statement, but, you know, what does that look like? It means walkable communities. It means healthy parks. It means, this is something Lee and I were talking about on the way up. You know, strong schools equals strong cities. Strong cities equals strong schools. You know, mm-hmm. that's that symbiotic relationship. And a fundamental component, of that is to have strong quality childcare. And this is something Angel and I have talked about before. She said, Mayor, you talk about housing and then everyone starts to talk about housing. Uh-huh. You know, we need to have this conversation on childcare as well. Here we are. So we're making progress. And this is something that we need to have a bigger conversation on as a community is how do all these entities, how does business growth, how does investing in parks, how does fixing our roads and creating walkable communities, how does this all tie together to make sure that Sheboygan is a strong place to raise a family and grow your family right here? And childcare is obviously the cornerstone of that. So just having local leaders, like folks here at the table that understand how all these mesh together and how we invest and how we promote our communities, that's how it all comes together.
Mm-hmm. Together. I think that's the key.
That's the simple, nickel version of the conversation. All. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. None of these things exist in a silo.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Correct.
So if you go ahead, Mike.
Oh, sorry. Just to add on to that, I'm a remote worker. We could choose anywhere mm-hmm. we wanted to go. And a big part of where we chose when we came back to Wisconsin, we wanted to be close to family, but that could be anywhere. We could drive 30 minutes away or something like that. One of the big reasons why we chose to stay in Sheboygan is because of child care availability. So keeping that in mind.
Yeah. And you're in finance, so we all get the economy, or like we all, price of eggs, all of that. Mm-hmm. That's important. So when we come back from this break, let's talk about the economic impact of affordable child care on our entire community, not just parents and kids, but everybody. Yeah. So this is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You are listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
There's nothing you can say that'll mean something. Fooling me into believing that we got to be something. We ain't got to be something. There's nothing you can say that'll mean something. Nothing.
Welcome back to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and I'm here with Mayor of Sheboygan, Ryan Sorensen, Sheboygan Elder Mike Close, School Board Member Leah Hibble, and Angel Berry, who is the executive director and co-founder of A Million Dreams. We are talking about the childcare crisis in Wisconsin, specifically in Sheboygan, from all these different perspectives as providers, as parents, as community leaders in the schools. It's a huge deal. And I want to lead with a couple statistics that were listed on the 5-year fund. Childcare challenges cost the U.S. economy over $122 billion a year. Billion. But investing in high-quality childcare and early learning programs can generate over $7 per every dollar invested. This is an investment mm-hmm. in your community. And the availability of early childhood education programs attracts home buyers and actually increases property values by $13 for every dollar invested in programs. Wow. So you can tell, we've got the statistics, and these are global, so we don't know what it is specifically in Sheboygan, but your gut tells you that when we invest in children and childcare and families, we invest in our communities. Ryan, as mayor, you and your elected leaders recognize the importance of a healthy economy. In general, investing in childcare provides an economic boost. How does this play out in Sheboygan?
Yeah, and I think kind of to my point before, when we've been meeting with, you know, I've been coining my roadshow, when we've been meeting with all of our large employers, Sargento, Kohler, American Orthodontics, MillerPoor-Sigma, you go down the list, Sheboygan's got them. You know, we've been hearing very basic themes of, you know, we want to recruit and attract talent to Sheboygan. What does that look like? Sheboygan's very known for, and, you know, Mike's got the story of Sheboygan. A lot of folks, you know, once they graduate high school, go off to college, they might leave, go somewhere else across the country, explore their lives, invest in their career. But when they want to, you know, start a family, when they want to raise their kiddos, a lot of them come back. We call it kind of that boomerang effect. Mm-hmm. They want to come back to Sheboygan because they know we got good schools, good jobs, good quality of life. But one thing that we're seeing, and Angel and I talk about this too, it's that waiting list. You mm-hmm. know, it's those long waiting lists that becomes a barrier for folks to, you know, whether to start a family, whether to move back to Sheboygan, you know. So we see that ripple effect of how that, you know, looks when businesses are trying to bring folks back, trying to recruit folks to work for their companies, well, you know, at the same time. So there's, you know, Sheboygan has that potential to really be that magnet and that boomerang for folks to come back and raise their families here. When we have that large barrier of long waiting lists, lack of affordability, lack of accessibility, that's when it doesn't mesh. So right. This is the magic ball of yarn that we're trying to unwind right now.
Mike, it boomeranged you.
It absolutely did. Yes. So we were born and raised in Sheboygan and graduated the Sullen.
North side, by the way.
North side, yes. North High graduate. And we, as Sullen teenagers, we said, oh, this town is so boring. We want to go out and see the world. And so we did. So we lived in the Boston area and we thought, oh man, we could lay down roots here. This is going to be great. And we finished up our education. We got good jobs, started careers, and we started a family. And in starting a family, we saw the absolute impact of childcare in the area as well. So on top of just being away from family and that support network that is so crucial for raising kids, we tried to cobble together what we could for childcare in the area, and mm-hmm. it was astronomical. I think at the height of it, we had two children in daycare, and we were paying $38,000 per year
on
childcare before we decided to come back. Before COVID, we said, okay, we need to do something about this. This expense is way too high. We need to get back. And so we decided, all right, we're going to repack our things up and move back to Sheboygan. So we got home in 2020 and haven't looked back since. And a big part of that was the availability and having that social network, that family network that was there.
Mm-hmm. And, that's huge.
And on top of that, just Sheboygan being a place for families. It was deliberately, there's huge families, there's kids playing in the street, things like that. All these critical pieces of being a part of a city like Sheboygan and raising a family. You mm-hmm. want to have those social networks, those built networks where people can be, where kids can play, where kids can have fun and build those social ties to an area like I did when I was a kid.
Yeah, I boomerang too. Actually, when I was in high school in Kaukauna, I remember my social studies teacher had a map of Wisconsin and they circled Northeast Wisconsin on the map and they said, people do not leave here. And I was like, I'm out of here. And I went to school in Minnesota and I ended up living in Madison. That's where we had our kids. And what I found in Madison was we could find childcare. There were providers, but it was expensive.
Yeah.
And we explored other alternatives. Like we had an au pair, we had a couple au pairs, we had nannies, and they were there because it's a bigger city. But one of the problems that we see in a town the size of Sheboygan, and Sheboygan's not small, it's like 50,000 people, 100,000 in the catchment area, mm-hmm. but there aren't that many providers. Angel, you are one of a handful of providers, and you don't just provide that, you know, straightforward care. You provide lots of layers of care for complex families.
We do. And our goal at A Million Dreams is really to be a wraparound. You know, you bring your child and you leave them with someone and you build trust with that, mm-hmm. that person, that teacher, that organization. And so you allow yourselves to be vulnerable and say, these are the other things that we need. And so we really have some services that we've already started and that we're planning to start that wrap around the family and connecting with other organizations, provide them with other resources as well. And I wanted to spin off something that Mike had said. He said that he cobbled together mm-hmm. here.
Yes.
And any professional who works with small children know that the first thing that they need is consistency. And when you're cobbling together, which happens all the time in this country, you know, grandma takes him on the weekends, and then I've got a friend who will take him on Tuesdays, and this day we can get him into this daycare, and that day they're just going to stay home. And you're short, the kids get the short end of the stick, right? Access to quality care gives them the education, the consistency, the safeness to eliminate, like Leah said, that anxiety that's going to come up later in life for not knowing what you're doing on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. I think that's incredibly important. And I think we forget about that because we're so busy desperately trying to find a place to park our kids.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
we forget about actually caring for them and providing them with consistent schedules and food and people and educational experiences.
And I think it's something to be said when you can look at social media accounts and see people saying, I need somebody tonight for mm-hmm. my kids. I need somebody this weekend for my kids. You don't have time to vet them, to learn who they are, to know who's taking care of your children. And if you're doing that on a consistent basis and cobbling that together, what are we offering our children?
Right. We're talking about Wisconsin's child care crisis with Mayor of Sheboygan, Ryan Sorensen, Angel Berry, the executive director and co-founder of A Million Dreams, Leah Hibble, who's on the school board in Sheboygan, and so much more. And Mike Close, who's one of the elders in Sheboygan and a dad. Angel, I want to come back to you and just ask this question because it's really important to your community. After June, are you going to be able to make ends meet?
Well, to be honest with you, we don't make ends meet now, right? There's no money in childcare,
mm-hmm.
and we rely on donations and support outside of the fees that we're charging families.
Mm-hmm.
We charge families $7 an hour per kid. And if you've got three kids and a job that's paying you $18 an hour, that's not livable.
Mm-hmm.
We don't pay our teachers a living wage. Nobody in the building is making a living wage, really. Sheboygan is $20.02 an hour. Should be a living wage for a single person. And we can't afford that. And so we do look to foundations and grants and personal individuals who have donated to our cause. But we received $150,000 last year from Child Care Counts. If we just broke even, and I never gave anybody a raise, I would have to raise my rates to $14.60 an hour. And that's
doubling your rates.
It's
more than doubling your rates.
Yep. Completely unaffordable. Absolutely ridiculous. So it's unsustainable. We cannot, as an industry, be self-sustainable. We have to be a public good in which people can invest in the care of the children in the community.
Yeah. Hey, Leah, as these kids get older and they enter schools, mm-hmm. this becomes your problem.
Absolutely. And I think about something that Angel just said and something that I alluded to earlier, talking about partnerships. We know that it takes a village to raise children. And one thing that I think our school district does a really great job at is partnering with other community agencies to allow for affordable, not even just childcare, but for those opportunities to have social development, those opportunities to learn and live in a trauma-informed space. Our district in 2019 started a program called Kid Stop, and that was in conjunction with the Boys and Girls Club and the Sheboygan County YMCA. And that offers parents of K through 12 students the opportunity for affordable before and after school care at 9 different school sites in our district. I think it's an excellent thing, but one thing that I think about here is, what about, I know that we are talking about particularly school-age children, but what about infants? What about toddlers? What about those parents? And what are we doing for them? What can we be doing for them, not just as a district, but as a city as well? So that's one thing that I'll really be interested to see is what more can we do for the youngest of learners before they're even eligible to start their public education? What can we do for them? We need to start thinking about that.
We've been thinking about so many things.
Yes.
I mean, I heard you say partnerships. I heard you say grants and donations. We're talking about programs, collaboration, talking with the big businesses, all the businesses yes. in the Sheboygan area. You know, the one thing I haven't heard anybody say, I want a handout from the government.
Right. Well, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
I don't think anybody is asking for a handout. I think we're asking for a hand up.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Child Care Counts did that. They stabilized the child care workforce during COVID. And thanks to Governor Evers, they kept it alive to this point. But it's in the deepest level of crisis that we've ever seen. And if that money stops in June, there will be people throughout this entire state, including Sheboygan, that will simply close their doors. Mm-hmm. And in addition to that, the professionals that work in childcare, they're going to leave. I know there's a childcare center down the street from us that didn't give raises with childcare counts because it was not guaranteed. Mm-hmm. So they get monthly bonuses. When those bonuses are gone, they'll make more money at Walmart. They're going to leave the industry. And we're talking about professionals. I have people who are making $16 an hour with a master's degree. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is ridiculous that we're not supporting that industry.
And I think you see the ripple effects on the local economy. You know, if that happens, you know, people will leave the workforce. People will leave the businesses. You'll see the unemployment rates increase. You'll see these companies lose employers. Mm-hmm. You know, so you see that whole ripple effect. So even if you don't have kiddos or you're retired, you see the impact that it has on the local economy. And this isn't just happening in Sheboygan. This is happening all in Northeast Wisconsin, all around the state, the Midwest. You go around the country, you see examples of this all over the place. This is how critically important this is.
Mm-hmm. And it happens fast. Mm-hmm. Once the Keystone Daycare leaves an area, workers will leave en masse quickly. And that's one of those things you see often with a lot of the smaller towns out west and things like that, where they lose their main daycare. Workers are left without an option and they must leave. So they go find it. They double up with friends and relatives and they make it work. So it's one of those things that it wraps up very quickly.
Mm-hmm. If you don't create a fertile environment for families.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Then you don't draw families in who will work in your businesses at Walmart, at the restaurants, start their own small businesses and continue to make your community vibrant and grow. You get the opposite. You get retraction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And that's reflected in the schools as well.
Absolutely. It's a workforce development issue.
Yes.
It is an issue that affects every single one of us. All right, when we come back for our last segment, this has gone so fast. I'm going to ask each one of you, what do you want to leave our listeners with today? All right, this is Dr. Kristen Lierley. You're listening to the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. Take me out of the
void, I'm afraid of the dark. You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Dr. Kristen Lierley Show. I am Dr. Kristen Lierley, and we have been talking about the child care crisis in Wisconsin with a focus on how this is specifically affecting folks in the city of Sheboygan. But Sheboygan is just a test case. So if you've missed any of our conversation thus far, you can always find it wherever you find your podcasts. We're also on the Civic Media app, and you can find us every Saturday and Sunday at 3 p.m. on WGBW and WISS. So, friends, I've got my guests here, Mayor of Sheboygan, Ryan Sorensen, Angel Berry, the executive director and co-founder of A Million Dreams, a child care center that provides so much incredibly needed care, Leah Hibble, who is on the Sheboygan Area School Board, but also she's a therapist and an engaged community member, and then Mike Close, who is a Sheboygan elder and a dad, Sheboygan native who moved away and got sucked back in. And I should mention, we've got John Zarbano, who's the godfather of this episode, sitting over in the corner. I want to hear from each of you in the just short time that we have left. If you could tell the people of Northeast Wisconsin, of Wisconsin, one thing, what do you want to leave them with? Ryan, I'll start with you.
Yeah, I think fundamentally, I think the key takeaway that we're trying to drive home today is if you want strong strong communities, you need to have strong quality childcare accessibility in your community, whether it's larger providers, smaller providers, you know, universal providers, 24/7 providers, you know, whether you have kiddos or not, it impacts you whether directly or indirectly. And that's why, you know, being supportive of programs, you know, from the state level that can support local agencies is vitally, vitally important. So it's all intertwined to have strong communities. So
this is not optional.
Correct.
This is not just for parents of small children.
This is mission critical. Exactly.
Mission critical for all of us.
Yep.
Yeah. Mike, what do you think?
Just to build on that, I think the framing of daycare and the issues around daycare and childcare in general have always been, this is a women's issue. Mm. And it needs to be firmly understood that this is society at large. This is everyone. Everyone who has been a child, which is everybody, right. is involved. So if you have a child in your periphery and you can help out, do so. If you want to hire quality workers, you have to invest and vocally support local child care initiatives and budget items like Tony Evers's budget plan. That was the minimum. That was the floor where we could have started and built on from there. Seeing that removed items is heartbreaking. We need to build these systems up, and it cannot just be left to working moms to advocate for those kinds of things. They need to be people like myself, working fathers. They need to be community leaders who are invested in these types of things, who are advocating actively. Children are in your life. You need to take responsibility and accountability for that. And I think that's the most important thing that we can take away from this discussion.
Mm-hmm. It's true. It's on all of us.
It is.
Yeah. Leah, what do you want to leave people with today?
Anytime that we are thinking about today's children, we are thinking about tomorrow's future. And we are not just thinking about funding for this budget cycle and what the implications will be for the next 2 years of the biennial budget. We are thinking about what are the ripple effects going to be 10 years from now, 15 years from now, generations from now. This child care and lack of is an issue that is not just today's issue, but that will impact the future greatly. And I hope that our legislature will consider that as we continue throughout the budget process. And I hope that the citizens of Northeastern Wisconsin will also consider that our children are worth fighting for, that our children's needs met today mean a brighter future tomorrow.
I am so excited that you said that, because I think sometimes we get stuck in this pattern of just trying to balance the budget.
Yes.
And we forget about the future. We forget about what an investment now means down the road, that we are actually creating more dollars mm-hmm. down the road exactly. if we make that investment right now.
Exactly. We're investing not just economically too, but we're investing socially. If we are telling children that their care matters, that funding for their care matters, we are telling them that they matter. And if we tell them that they matter, they can go out and do anything in this world. So that's what I want to continue doing, no matter what the ledge decides to do.
That's beautiful. And Angel, you're on the ground.
I am.
You're the one who is, we're talking funding, we're talking leadership, we're talking economy, you're talking kids.
I am. I'm talking kids and teachers every day. Mm-hmm. I'm in there rocking babies, right?
Yeah.
So I do think that, you know, we've hit it on the head here. This is a community issue. This is an everybody issue. It affects every area of every life in one way or another. I think that everybody needs to do something. And if you don't have children and you don't need childcare, you can still do something. Call your legislators and say this is important to you so that the guy down the line shows up for work tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Call your local childcare centers and say, what do you need? Can I buy you
diapers
or school
food,
supplies?
Mm-hmm. Donation. If nothing
absolutely.
Else, dollars. Yes.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. I obnoxiously say, if everybody in Sheboygan County gave me $20, we could solve this. But I think it boils down to, if everybody makes one small move and we work together, we can solve the crisis in Sheboygan and throughout Wisconsin.
And again, we come back to together.
Yes.
The collaborations, the stepping up, the pitching in however we can.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I am so grateful to you all for taking time out of your busy lives, driving all the way up to Green Bay. I know it doesn't seem like that far, but you know.
We weren't stuck in Packer traffic today, so that was good. Yeah.
It's not so far. I mean, I used to work in Sheboygan. Yeah, and I would drive every day.
It's a lovely drive.
It is a lovely drive. And it's a beautiful community that is very much centered in, we've talked about this earlier in the episode, but centered in family and connection. Mm-hmm. It is one of the areas, this area is one of the areas where people grow and build their families and come back. Even if they leave, they come back because we create this environment, and childcare is an essential part of that foundation. So Angel Berry, executive director and co-founder of A Million Dreams, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
100%. Leah Hibble, Sheboygan Area School District Board of Education member, thank you for being here and sharing your voice.
Thank you.
Mike Close, elder in Sheboygan and dad, thank you for sharing your radio expertise and your voice.
Thank you very much.
Oh, and of course, Ryan Sorensen, mayor of Sheboygan. I so appreciate you and your leadership.
Yeah, thanks for having us. This is always fun, right?
It sure is. All right. Hey, I want to hear from you. Send me ideas for topics, guests, music, you name it. This is our conversation. We can talk about whatever we want. And you can find me at Dr. Kristen Lierley on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Threads, Blue Sky, Substack, YouTube, name it. It's all there. And if you missed any of our conversation, you can always go wherever you get your podcasts and come back next Saturday and Sunday at 3 on WGBW in Green Bay and WISS in Appleton and Oshkosh and streaming on the Civic Media app. We'll see you next time.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.